Welcome back into the College Football Every Game on the Board podcast, part number four with our cleanup hitter, Rob Vino at Rob Vino Sports on Twitter. Check him out, wagertalk.com. Robbie, welcome in. How you feeling, buddy?
I am good today, Drew. Glad to be with you here on this section of the board.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you. You're a fan favorite. People reaching out in my DMs saying, where's Rob Vino? This, that. We need Rob Vino. So here he is. Trying to be a man of the people, Rob Vino, a man of the people. We got him on, and we are starting off here 195, 196, the rotation number, all the way through the end of the college football card. We like to say, go to the Wager Talk live odd screen. We're just going down in order, and part number four right now is with Robbie Vino. So 195, 196, 330 Eastern, Central Michigan at Toledo. -7, that's the Rockets in the Glass Bowl, 56 being the total here, Robbie. You liking anything, Maction?
You know, it's tough to get involved right away here, Drew, just because we don't know the status of Daniel Richardson, right? We've been talking about Daniel Richardson, the quarterback of CMU, for a long, long time, but banged up shoulder and collarbone injury late in that Penn State game. And right now, I don't have a real yes or no on his status. His backup is a redshirt freshman by the name of Jace Bauer. He came into that Penn State game last week, cleaned up 3 of 7, 40 yards. He's known for being a dual threat quarterback, really fast with a strong arm. How far that will carry them against Toledo, if he has to start, I'm not sure. He did play against Bucknell, just for a little bit of background or context, and he had 6 carries for 47 yards and a couple of TDs. So we'll see what Richardson's status is in this game. It makes a world of difference. Toledo's been absolutely dreadful versus the run, though, Drew. And you know what? If Central doesn't have Daniel Richardson, they still have Lou Nichols to run the football. And it's possible that Central Michigan could make their way on the ground here against the Toledo defense. Toledo gave up 217 rushing yards against San Diego State last week, 205 to UMass, of all people. So Central may be able to make some ground there. Toledo not good to go across the front. Bad pass rush, only 3 sacks all year long. I think that, you know, we're back. You look at our section of the card, and we're back to Maction, right? We got a lot of Mac matchups here. And what we know best about Mac is they're usually high-flying, high-scoring affairs. The weather is not going to be bad here. They won't get any remnants of the hurricane. It's possible this 56.5 could be eclipsed. I'd rather wait and see if Richardson's going to play or not.
Yeah, I like it. Good point there. Richardson being out could be big, but yeah, guys, 56, not that high for Maction. Speaking of not high totals in the MAC conference, 3:30 Eastern here, Robbie, 197, 198, Miami of Ohio at Buffalo, near pick'em price. Now seeing Buffalo take a little money, -1.5, 50.5 being the total, Robbie.
Yeah, since we're going to be revving right into November and Tuesday MAC games and everything else from here on out, Drew, we'll just give, to start the MAC season, a little bit of background on what I'm looking at for these teams right now. With Buffalo, there's real concern with this defense. It's totally revamped. Their head coach, Maurice Lindquist, actually called it a blank sheet of paper. We're going from scratch. They hired a 27-year-old defensive coordinator, Brandon Bailey, who had been nothing more than a grad assistant in his 2 previous stints, grad assistant for Tulane, grad assistant at A&M the last 3 years. They revamped the whole defense. Like Lindquist said, blank sheet of paper, and it kind of shows. They added a lot of transfers because when he took over, a lot of people hit the transfer portal. So the personnel's a little bit different, but they did get some quality Power 5 transfers in here. However, they're allowing 433.5 yards a game, and it doesn't matter, Drew. You can get these guys on the ground, 181 on the ground. You can get them through the air, 252 through the air. Miami hasn't shown to be all that capable yet, but a lot of that is due to the fact that, you know, Brett Gabbert suffered a pretty serious injury, and they've had to go with their backup quarterback most of the way here, and it'll continue here. Avion Smith has only completed 48.5% of his passes all season long. It's a shame because Chuck Martin, the head coach of Miami, is a really good head coach, and I think he felt like he had a real good chance at winning the division this year. We'll see if they can take advantage of this lousy Buffalo defense. If so, you know what? They're the better defensive team. They might win here, but I just don't trust the quarterback. I can actually see the push toward Buffalo. Buffalo's at home. Don't know what to make heads or tails out of the total here, because if I really thought Miami could move the football, and maybe they can, because a lot of these MAC teams have played really tough Power 5 schools in their non-conference. So we really don't have a full read on them yet. But if Miami of Ohio can move the football with Avion Smith against what's a bad Buffalo defense right now in transition, you're right, 50.5 is another low total for a MAC game. 27-24 cashes a ticket here. And in MAC games, that's really possible.
Good point, Robbie, in terms of, you know, factoring in when a MAC team plays like an SEC or Big Ten team and just gets their doors blown off, it almost makes it difficult to get a barometer on them. And so it's also tough for the odds makers to actually put numbers out when they come back into MAC play. And there's an advantage for sports bettors if you can kind of pin that correctly. It's hard to do, though. For the first five games we're going to talk about in the last section here of every game on the board are MACtion. The one game that's not is the next game up here. Tell you the truth, it's UConn. They probably should be in the MAC, Robbie, to tell you. What conference is UConn in? They're hosting Fresno State here. Very weird matchup. Fresno State laying 24 on the other side of the country, 52.5 being the total. What are you doing with this one, Robbie?
Yeah, here's what happens when you go independent, right, Drew? You scramble for games. You come up with Fresno State. I'll tell you, if you're UConn, what you would have liked to have had here, and maybe they couldn't negotiate this, is you would have liked to start the game at 12 noon East and make Fresno play a 9 a.m. game on their time. However, it's 3:30 in the afternoon, which is 12:30 Pacific, pretty good for Fresno. Fresno's off a bye week, but they do have Boise State on deck. So what's the interest level? And on top of that, their starting quarterback, Jake Haener, won't play in this game. The backup for them, Logan Fife, he went 11 for 12 for 140 yards in relief of Haener against USC. So those are pretty good numbers. If Fresno State's interested, Drew, this is a complete route. Jim Mora, you know, takes a Jim Mora Jr. Shouldn't say Jim Mora Senior. Jim Mora Jr. takes over the UConn team, and all they've had from the beginning of the season is injury on top of injury on top of injury. Remember, they were one of those teams that played in week zero against Utah State to start this season all off and fared pretty well there, covered some numbers. And to his credit, he's gotten this team to hang tough in a lot of situations. However, these injuries are just continuing to mount and mount and mount, and these opponents don't get any easier when you're playing Fresno State. Right now, UConn's got a true freshman quarterback in Zion Turner. Their top two running backs now, because of injury, are true freshmen. Their top two wide receivers are sophomores. They're so young. They're so inexperienced. Their pass defense is horrendous. And if Logan Fife, you know, 11 of 12 against USC, if they're interested, he could probably put up big numbers here against UConn. Situationally, with Boise on deck and a cross-country flight, it tells you take UConn with 24. The people that are going to be on the field tell me lay 24, because I don't think UConn can compete. So it's a tough game to get involved with.
Back to MACtion up next. We got Bowling Green and Akron, 3:30 Eastern kick here with BG laying, I'm seeing 9 now. It opened 6. So looked like some money here on Bowling Green. 49.5 being the total in Akron, Ohio, Robbie.
And the move is because of the return of their starting quarterback, Matt McDonald, who's been there the last 3 years. He's back here in the lineup this week, which is a huge boost for Bowling Green. He's been there since head coach Leffler got there and suffered through some real bad times. And right now, Bowling Green is, you know, they're on a little bit of an ascension where MAC programs are concerned, and they can play some offense now. And especially with him, they're very, very capable against this type of defense, Akron, which has been lit up. And again, we're going to allude to the fact that Akron has played some tough opponents, right? All these MAC teams have played tough opponents. They get paychecks for going down to the SEC, over to the Big 12, wherever they have to go. And, you know, Akron's just got completely destroyed. They're not scoring a lot of points. DJ Irons, their quarterback, hasn't been all that effective. again, hard to gauge how he'll be against a Bowling Green defense, which is nothing like what he's played so far in most instances. But I would think that the two worst units on the field here are probably the defenses. Bowling Green, with McDonald back, should move the ball real well against Akron. Last year's game, Drew, went 35-20, Akron, 55 total points. There were only 689 total yards, which is less than 350 apiece, less than 345 apiece, just on average. You'd expect more this time. If we get them, again, we're talking a lot of MAC overs, but that's what the MAC produces is overs. And right now, at the very beginning of the season, maybe some of these totals are underpriced, because by the time November comes and we're talking about these games on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, like we mentioned earlier, you know, we start seeing 64.5, 68, all these crazy numbers in the 70s. So maybe we take advantage here. I think that maybe Bowling Green and Kent, especially with McDonald back at QB for Bowling Green, could produce some points.
Robbie, next game up, staying in the MAC conference, 203-204, as we're working our way down, Ohio and Kent State. Kent State open -7, Robbie. They're now 11.5 point home favorites, 65 the total. This Ohio team beat FAU, and now they're catching 11.5 versus Kent State. What's going on here, Robbie?
They beat FAU, and then last week they almost lost to Fordham. 59-52 against Fordham, right? So talk about Jekyll and Hyde. That's Ohio U at this point in time. I think the line increase, Drew, really is, and we've talked about it twice now, is due to the strength of schedule played by Kent. I mean, they went on the road. They played at Washington. We now know the Washington Huskies are a real good team. They went on the road and played at Oklahoma. And then last week, they went on the road and covered at Georgia. Lose 39-22. They've shown pretty well for themselves across the country, but that's as hard as three games. If you're a MAC school, none of them at home, all on the road. So I think they're getting a lot of support for the opposing schedule strength in this instance. Curtis Rourke in the Ohio offense, though, they do roll. I mean, if you give them a defense like the one they're going to see in Kent State that, you know, is of light competition or, you know, below average, then they're going to roll it. They put up 476 yards against FAU. You talked about they beat them, and they came back with 692 yards last week against Fordham. The problem is that they give it up just as fast. Right now they're giving up 538 yards a game. Kent State should, after seeing the three defenses they saw in non-conference, they'll certainly love seeing this defense. And Ohio U, which is what makes this game a little tough for them, they've given up 300 or more passing yards in every single game this year. Therefore, you would think Sean Lewis and Kent State in that rapid tempo offense can move the football. The total has been pushed. What are you seeing there, Drew? I think I saw 60, 65, 66, somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah, 65, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Kent State, the past couple of years, has made those numbers look small. I think they're going to love seeing this Ohio U defense, and this to the same tune there. I think Ohio U is going to move the football on Kent. So Ohio U is 4-0 over the total so far this year. I could see them getting to 5-0 over because they just can't stop anybody at this point in time.
And Robbie, you bring up like the schedule. One thing I'd like to do in the MAC, the Sun Belt as well, although the Sun Belt's kind of not really in that category anymore because they've gotten like so much more talented. But like this Kent State squad, like you read out their schedule, like it just ended with Georgia. If they're going up tempo and that's their offense, you're not going to go into Athens and go up tempo and make it, you know, a 14 possession game. You're going to kind of pump the brakes a little bit and say, hey, let's try to hang in there and be competitive. Whereas now that you get into action, now you're going to want to go whatever you're looking to do offensively. So I almost think we can get like a beat betting them over the total, like when MAC teams that you know are wanting to go offensive up tempo start their MAC schedule. Because like you alluded to earlier, by November, that's already going to be in the analytics, you know? So I don't know. Any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, I went through it, Drew. I went through Kent's total plays in those games that they played against Washington, Oklahoma, and Georgia. And remember, Oklahoma's an up-tempo team, right, with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, and Washington's playing quicker now with Kalen DeBoer, and the play totals are not that high. So to your point, generally speaking, these MAC teams will go get their check and hopefully get out of there without getting a ton of injuries and be able to survive until their season starts and then play the style of ball they like to play, which I totally agree with you that Kent State will now turn the tempo up. Sean Lewis has shown it every year he's been there. No reason to stop now. And Ohio U, they're kind of methodical for a MAC team, but they produce big yardage per play numbers every single year, and it's really no different this year.
Yeah, and they got a good quarterback too. Next game up, Sunbelt 205-206, 7 o'clock here in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Arkansas State -7 at home, 59.5 being the total. Rob, what jumps out at me is Arkansas hosting ULM, and they're only a 7-point favorite. Thing is, ULM's getting better, Robbie, down there in Monroe. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, Arkansas State drew under Butch Jones right now, right? And with, you remember, James Blackman used to be the quarterback at FSU, transferred over here, wasn't real productive last year, but he's been good this year. And in fact, in my power ratings, I do a increase and decrease power ratings differential every single week to see who the teams are that are, you know, exceeding expectations and who the ones are that are below expectations from the opening number that I assigned them. And Arkansas State ranks 5th in most improved power rating so far, differential between their opening number and what it is now. They've gone upward. So they're on a good rise right now. ULM, as you mentioned, has played pretty well too. And in fact, last week they come off, this is why I kind of like Arkansas State here. They play that rivalry game against UL Lafayette without Billy Napier now, without Levi Lewis now, without all those guys we remember at ULL, right? They're all gone. New coach, new players. ULM walks in there last week after losing, I think, 5 straight in that rivalry, comes up with a 14-0 fourth quarter and wins the game. Kind of a cloud nine situation, I would think, for Monroe. That's a big win for them, especially in come from behind fashion. Get right back to it in conference play against another team that, at least at this level, Butch Jones is a proven winning head coach. You know, when he went to Tennessee, he wasn't that. But the Central Michigan stuff, you know, when he's in this level, he's pretty good. And he's got this team rolling right now. So I think Blackman and Arkansas State, probably a good way to look situationally and maybe fundamentally as well.
FAU and UNT here, North Texas, 68 being the total in Denton. We're getting the Owls -3. Now they're -3 in the hook. FAU, talented team, Robbie, for their conference. They don't travel well, though. FAU, FIU, they, you know, laying points here on the road. What are you thinking 4 o'clock Saturday in Denton, Texas?
It's hard, again, without turnovers happening to kill drives, Drew. It's hard to imagine these two teams offensively not dominating this game. I mean, Nikosi Perry was mediocre at best with the Miami Hurricanes. And here at FAU, he's running that offense to precision. They get up and down the field on everybody, and they're doing it both ways, run and pass. North Texas, very strong passing unit right now, run the ball well too. Of course, Seth Luttrell is known for spread offense, high octane, up tempo. They're back to it this year. So, you know, you go through the defensive numbers for both. Neither one's impressive whatsoever. It's not as if every game they played this year, where we were talking about Kent really raising up in competition level, hasn't been the case in every game for FAU and North Texas. So again, you know, if you're asking for 34 a side here to get to 68, and then Florida Atlantic is a 3.5-point favorite, a field goal, 37-34 to get you over. It seems possible to me with what I've seen so far, Drew. North Texas is just a disaster on the defensive side. FAU has a little bit better defensive acumen than does North Texas. But what you said to start this thing is they don't travel well. I think you were probably alluding to fans. But the team plays better at home in Boca Raton as well. Maybe the defense gets lit up here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing the fans don't travel well, but yeah. I was actually alluding to the players on the field. I've noticed, like, well, they're a lot better team in Boca. When they get, like, they lost it to Ohio, to a MAC team, way up there. You know, whatever the case may be, it's just I don't know. Maybe it's like all of their players are just from South Florida and they're not used to it. I'm not really sure, but I've just something I've noticed over the last couple of years, FAU and FIU in particular, they really don't travel all that well. Next game up, UTEP in Charlotte, 6 o'clock in Charlotte. Guys, this is a game that you got to watch out for the remnants of the hurricane. And we've seen it push down about 5 points totals wise, 57.5, the opener, 52.5 being the total now. UTEP -3 on the road, Rob. What are you thinking, the Miners and the 49ers?
Yeah, and I'll back up half a second here, Drew, just to hop on your point about Florida Atlantic away from home. That Ohio U game, I believe there were 83 points scored in that game. FAU did not play good defense. Ohio U got over 40. So again, we're speaking toward over in that game, and perhaps, you know, the defense just doesn't travel as well. Here, you know, I tried to take advantage of all these games, Drew, all these games that were pounded down because of weather. You have to guess. Of course, it was all guesswork on my part. But when this game went from 58 all the way down to 48, I thought, well, you know, if this hurricane does shift, then I'm going to get a great price at 48. And of course, the hurricane has shifted. If you go look to hourly weather for Charlotte, North Carolina, between the hours of 6 and 10 at night on Saturday night, the rain is gone. According to the most recent weather report I looked at this afternoon, from 6 to 10, all you see is cloudy, but no rain. It'll all be gone by morning time, according to what we're seeing now. So now we see this thing ticking back up simply because Charlotte might be the worst defensive team in the country. I mean, we're talking about a lot of bad defensive teams in this segment, Drew, but Charlotte may be the worst of all of them. And they have the numbers to back it up. There's no question about it. But they also have Chris Reynolds. And we know for the last 3 years, Chris Reynolds is a heck of a quarterback. And Charlotte's a pass-oriented offense. And when he's out there running it, he was injured, I think, games 2 and 3, and they didn't look the same. But as soon as he came back, they pulled off an outright upset as a huge dog, and they just score. UTEP is coming off a win against Boise State, which was very surprising, right? Plus 16. I thought, actually, Drew, I thought if Boise State had won that game, Dana Dimmel might have gotten fired, because UTEP had a few expectations this year and they just hadn't met them. But the 27-10 win probably saved his job. Now they go on the road. Can they sustain it? I'm not sure. Boise's got problems. Granted, you got to give UTEP a lot of credit for a 27-10 win. However, Hank Bachmeier, the kid who started at quarterback for Boise, not only last year, but this year, transferred, got into the transfer portal right after that game. So there's issues at Boise. They're not the same. I don't know if UTEP comes with the same intensity here against Charlotte. We'll see, but I do think Charlotte can score. And again, just took advantage of a number that was beaten down due to weather. I still think there's room. I think if you can get this thing up to, let's say, 55.5, I wouldn't go any higher than 55.5, but I think you can still get this thing over, because UTEP will score on the Charlotte defense. Everybody does. And Chris Reynolds will certainly score against the UTEP defense.
Good stuff, Robbie. Yeah, this is something to watch. I mean, I'm no meteorologist by any means, Robbie, but some of these tracks are all over the place. So it's kind of hard to bet them right now. But you're right. I mean, in terms of, it got bet down to the 49 number. Now it's been bet back up to 53.5. So some, you know, enough money to push it that far down, and then enough money to push it up. So a lot going on, a lot to keep up with weather-wise, UTEP and Charlotte. And I agree with your sentiment. When Chris Reynolds is in there, I don't want anything to do with Charlotte and betting them under, because they can't stop anybody. Indiana, Nebraska up next. Big 10 here, Robbie. 7:30 Saturday night. 5.5. That's the Cornhuskers is the favorite. 60.5 being the total. What do you like in Hoosiers and Cornhuskers?
Boy, I don't know that I like anything, Drew. I mean, it's amazing to me how the betting market has really trusted Nebraska almost every week. I mean, even after the coach got fired, oh my God, the coach got fired. Let's bet Nebraska against Oklahoma. They get drilled. Now they've had a week off. And I guess the prevailing feeling is that, well, Nebraska had a week off to straighten things out with their interim head coach, Mickey Joseph, and they'll come back, you know, conference game, and they'll play well because they've been bet up. But I don't want to trust Nebraska. The black shirts defense, the years of that are long gone. they don't tackle. Oklahoma absolutely made sure that they were exposed. I mean, if ever there was a game to be on an emotional high for a defense, for an entire team, but for a defense, it would have been the Oklahoma game, which is a rivalry of, you know, 50 some odd years. And they still couldn't tackle anybody. They still couldn't stop anybody. Dylan Gabriel had like a 56-yard touchdown run or something in that vicinity. Indiana comes in with Tom Allen. If nothing else, his team, even if they're undermanned, they're always emotionally ready. He's a rah-rah type of coach. He'll have his team fired up. Connor Bazelak, the Missouri transfer at quarterback for Indiana, hasn't lit the world on fire as of yet, but everybody seems to play Nebraska and do it. So I think they're more evenly matched than the point spread indicates. I don't know that Nebraska talent-wise is that much better, 5.5 points better than Indiana. If I had to, I would take the dog, Drew. Otherwise, I would leave it alone. If you're playing totals, I don't know that you can trust Nebraska to stop anybody. So I guess you would have to look over, but 61 just seems a little high to me.
Guys, we got three games left. Check out Rob Vino at wagertalk.com. Also on Twitter at Rob Vino Sports. Next game up here, Troy and Western Kentucky. We're seeing the Hilltoppers -5, -5.5 at some shops, 54.5 being the total. What are you thinking in Bowling Green, Kentucky, Robbie?
You know, Troy's looked good, Drew. The one thing that hasn't looked good with Troy is pass defense. And you just don't want to play Western Kentucky if you're not a good pass defense. I couldn't talk anybody off of playing Troy as an underdog in this game. However, I do think that their weakness is Western Kentucky's offensive strength. And man, oh man, they can light it up. Now, what you have to ask yourself is how much of Western Kentucky's offensive numbers are real and how much are phony because of the competition that they played. Troy's going to be maybe the best all-around defensive team that they played, for sure. But like I say, Troy's pass defense, when confronted with teams that can throw the ball, hasn't been good whatsoever. That being said, whether I looked at in Bowling Green, Kentucky, didn't seem to be anything to worry about for this particular game. And I see this total down to 54.5, and I scratch my head and say, why? Nobody plays Western Kentucky under anymore, rightfully so. You just can't, unless the number's so far up there that you have to. But at 54.5 for a Western Kentucky game, they're a bad defensive team. Troy can certainly score a little against bad defensive teams. So I think the look here, Drew, if you're looking total, it's definitely over. If you're looking side, Troy probably can hang because Western Kentucky is not a good defensive team. And Troy could win straight up. I just worry about their pass defense in this situation. And therefore, I'd rather have over 54.5.
7:30 Eastern kick. We got UAB and Rice up next. 215, 216, the rotation numbers, guys. Second to last game on the card. Blazers -10 on the road here. 51 the total in Houston, Texas, Robbie.
I would love to definitively say, Drew, that I'm on Rice +10 because I just think that Rice, you know, it's one of these anticipation ones, right? We try to get out ahead of the curve. Rice is still not a team that public bettors want to go to the window with. Oh my God, it's Rice. They stink, right? But, yeah, you know, Blomgren's made some headways with this team and it's showing up this year. They actually throw the ball. They throw the forward pass pretty well right now. When he came over from Stanford, you know, he brings the Stanford way, the David Shaw way, run the football. And Rice just didn't have enough depth to do anything. But it seems to me, in watching them a couple of games now, they're deeper. They look more like a real football team. They throw the football with some kind of competence. I'd love to trust them +10. That being said, UAB is the best team in that league. And defensively, they can stifle CUSA teams. So I'd have to go out on a limb to play Rice saying, you know what, I think that Rice is good enough now to actually move the ball consistently throughout a game against the best defense in the league. Not sure I'm ready to do that.
Yeah, maybe look towards UAB. I don't know. Rice might be there. I get what they were trying to do, though, kind of take that Stanford philosophy, you know, good school and still good at football. I don't know. It's hard to do, though. We got last game here, Robbie, 7:30 Eastern. In Laramie, Wyoming, San Jose State at Wyoming. Looks like the Spartans, -3 road favorites, 42 being the total, the highest elevation Division I home field in the country. What are you liking here, Robbie? I'm thinking the home dog +3, but interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, I think the same way, Drew, but I'll tell you what, the most loved football team by money the last 2 weeks has been San Jose State, and money came flooding in on San Jose State last week. They win rather easily. They cover rather easily. And money has pushed this game 4.5 points. Wyoming opens 1.5. They're now catching 3. And it came right off the bat, Drew. So this is not your regular guy walking in and betting San Jose State. These are guys who have a lot of cash and a lot of opinion that for whatever reason like San Jose State. I don't know that I would agree with that. Wyoming's tough in this venue. After the week one, Wyoming is shown to be what we think Wyoming to be, right? Very good defensive team, run the football well, shorten up games. You can give me 3 points with them at home. I think I have to take Wyoming. Like you say, the altitude plays somewhat of a factor against a team like San Jose State, who doesn't come from altitude whatsoever. And again, Wyoming has shown us the physical nature. Week one must have just been an aberration, their first game, because ever since then, they've been pretty good. I would trust Wyoming +3 here.
At Rob Vino Sports on Twitter. Check him out, wagertalk.com. Robbie, what do you got going on, and do you have a most confident play for the listeners of the games we talked about before we shut this down, man?
Real quick, we'll just go through, wagertalk.com. Hey, for everybody out there, if you're not a member yet, just drop by wagertalk.com, put in your email address, and you'll get access to all the video content that the handicappers do there each and every day, myself and Drew included. And we basically analyze every single game. I know this show is called Every Game on the Board. I think the company analyzes just about every game on the board, no matter what sport it's in. You can get all that for free at wagertalk.com if you're interested in selection packages. I do have Thursday night football up here tonight, and I do have weekend football up as well. So you want to visit wagertalk.com for that. As far as top plays, Drew, off of this particular board, I think I would go back to the Ohio and Kent State game. I think that's just an absolute track meet. I know the number 65, but we know how Maction can make 65 look real small. I think that Kent, after playing the behemoths that they've played so far, is going to look at the defense across the field from them. And, you know, we may see that 80 total plays out of Kent here. Sean Lewis revs up the offense, and Ohio will answer back, I'm sure. So give me over 65, Ohio U versus Kent, and our first official Maction play of the year.
Yeah, can't wait for Tuesday, Wednesday. But this is when you start to learn and how you win when that happens. So good stuff from Rob Vino. Rob, thanks as always. Guys, please smash that like button and feel free to comment below. Let us know what you thought, and we'll be back next week. So thanks for tuning in. That does it for Every Game on the Board. All the games in the books. So enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back next week.